From WBUR Boston, I'm Tom Ashbrook, and this is On Point. It is Patriots Day in Boston, the local holiday marking the first battles of the American Revolution at Lexington and Concord. And it is Boston Marathon Day. Thousands of runners from around the country and the world, big crowds all along the 26-mile route, and especially at the historic downtown finish line. This afternoon, deadly explosions at that finish line. Horrific scenes and shock. Scores wounded, at least two dead. The specter of terrorism. This hour on Point, we are live and bringing you the latest on the Boston bombing. You can join us on air or online. We especially would like to hear from people who were there. What did you witness? And from listeners around the country, what do you see? Fear. We are live this evening in a special broadcast at 800-423-8255. That's 800-423-TALK. Or join us at onpointradio.org or on Twitter and Facebook at On Point Radio. This day's events have turned a day of athletic excellence and joy into a day of blood and sorrow. Late this afternoon, President Obama addressed the country from the White House.
The American people will say a prayer for Boston tonight. And Michelle and I send our deepest thoughts and prayers to the families of the victims in the wake of this senseless loss.
Earlier in the afternoon, as runners at the end of 26-plus miles poured across the finish line through streets crowded, many deep, with happy spectators, these blasts. You'll hear one, then a pause of what, 8, 9, 10 seconds, and the second. Pandemonium in an American city at the end of a joyful race. Thousands of runners could not complete. Many blocks closed down in the city. The city and country are still coming to understand exactly what happened. 100-plus injured at this point. The death toll at this point still at 2, but there have been gruesome injuries, we are told, limbs and more lost. Let's go to a runner who was there just across that finish line before the explosion. Tom Kenny joins us now from Sudbury, Massachusetts. He ran the marathon today, crossed the finish line a minute before the explosions. Tom Kenny, thank you very much for being with us this evening. Where were you, Tom, when the first explosion came?
I had just crossed the finish line. There was about 2 minutes looking back at the tape and had been making my way slowly through the corrals, starting to get to the point where people were handing out the water and the blankets when the first explosion went off.
We've seen the video, the powerful orange flash and smoke all around, and then another. Did you see either? Or did you simply hear them, Tom?
We didn't see the explosion because we were facing the opposite direction. But when a couple of us around me had crouched down, a lot of other people just sort of turned and looked, and it didn't take long for the black-gray smoke to start rising above the proscenium that was over the finish line.
What was the sense, your sense, and of those around you? Did you at first think this must be a bomb, or did you think it was others have said maybe it was a celebratory cannon or something historical?
It didn't seem at all to me like something celebratory, for a couple of reasons. One, it didn't make any sense to do it right there. Mm-hmm. And second, the sound just was too close to what an IED out in Afghanistan would sound like. I was actually right next to another person who had served in Iraq, and we both kind of looked at each other and had the same sort of reaction to the sound that it made.
Did you return down that course and see some of the chaos in the street there? Did you go the other way, Tom?
No, we didn't really know what it was, and from the perspective that we had, there wasn't a lot of chaos. The Boston Marathon officials were doing a very good job of keeping people calm, and we just all continued moving through the corrals, not really knowing what was going on behind us.
And what was the scene that you witnessed? What were runners saying? What were you thinking?
A lot of runners were very confused about what was going on, and I had my cell phone because it was tracking my time in the race, and I reached out to contact my family, which was on Boylston Street just a couple minutes before I had passed them. They were cheering for me as I was coming in. And then we started sharing my cell phone around with half a dozen people trying to reach their own relatives and friends just to see what was going on. Does anybody know what's happening? Is everybody okay?
And at that point, were runners evacuating the area? Were people moving them out? We saw some police moving, running toward these explosions.
There really wasn't a lot of chaos on our side. There wasn't a lot of information about what was going on. The runners were obviously exhausted, and we just were moving more quickly than maybe we would have under the guidance of the Boston Marathon officials, who were trying to move us along a little more quickly than maybe they would have. But there really wasn't a sense of panic on our side just yet.
Tom, how have you taken this on board? I mean, just the physically, with the taxation of 26 miles of running and the exhaustion of that, and then on top of this bombing right in the middle of it, we see runners toppled over in the street. How have you handled it emotionally, physically?
It wasn't really that emotional at first because we didn't know what was going on. It wasn't until I turned around to go meet my family that we had no idea what was going on, that I saw a lot of the injuries coming back one block away from the explosion. And then much more of a deeper sense of something tragic had happened, and then my thoughts just went right to my family.
Let me ask you, we'll ask others as well, but can you see a message in this? Is it clear to you, or is it obscure?
I don't see a message, but the only thing that's clear to me is, you know, we have a variety of things that we're trying to do as the United States to try to thwart whatever terrorism we can. And it just became very evident to me that regardless of what wars were winding down in Iraq or Afghanistan where I came from, this terrorism, this message that people are using through violence is simply going to continue.
Tom Kenny, who ran the Boston Marathon today, who was one of the last to cross the finish line before the two explosions, just meters away from that site. Many other thousands stopped from completing the marathon by police, worried about their safety, worried about coordinated attacks and the potential for ongoing attacks. Tom Kenny, we're glad that you're safe. We're grateful to you for joining us. Thank you very much.
Thank you, Tom.
Here's sound of that second explosion captured from on a YouTube video.
Whoa! Something just blew up!
And here, the Boston Police Commissioner Ed Davis saying earlier today there were multiple casualties at both bombing sites.
At 2:50 p.m. today, there were simultaneous explosions that occurred along the route of the Boston Marathon near the finish line. These explosions occurred 50 to 100 yards apart, and each scene resulted in multiple casualties.
We are live this evening looking at this explosion today in the heart of an American city at the end of the Boston Marathon, historic race, many thousands in that race. No small number of them stopped from completing this. The bombs going off in the heart of downtown Boston, where spectators were many deep watching those runners stream toward the finish line. We're at WBUR in Boston, and WBUR reporter Kurt Nickisch joins us now in the studio. Kurt, thanks for being here.
Of course.
Two explosions, but more explosives found? What do we know beyond these two?
Well, there was one device one block further. So these two explosions were about 550 feet apart on two separate blocks, but on the same side of the street. Mm-hmm. And it appears that there was a third one that police detonated a block further that's beyond the finish line, right next to Copley Square, although police have not confirmed that. There was also a fire and possible explosion at the JFK Library, the presidential library.
A few miles from this site, sort of on the edge of the downtown area or even beyond a bit.
Exactly. And at first, Boston Police Commissioner Ed Davis said that it did appear to be a related explosion, or they were investigating it as a related explosion, but then backed off from that later.
Boston has shut down cell phone service in the central area so that cell phones either deliberately or accidentally would not set off further bombs. But let me ask, are the police calling these bombs, first of all?
They are calling them explosions, and the bombing term seems to come out, right? And so even a White House official says, look, these are two bombs that appeared to attack civilians, and they're treating it as a terrorist attack.
The police chief earlier today is not using the word terrorism, but he said, look, you can judge for yourself. He suggested these were terrorist attacks.
Sure. And the thing that's interesting is that this happened hours after the main runners actually finished their races. So this is when many of the recreational runners were going through. There weren't many on the street, but where these happened were right along the side where many people were still gathered at the barricades right at the finish line, which is the most crowded point.
The explosions were low, we're hearing, that causing the no small number of amputations to be required after they occurred.
Yeah, one witness said saw about two dozen people that had legs or limbs missing. And of the two people, there are some reports that it was a child, which would suggest perhaps a more deadly explosion closer to the ground.
We heard plenty of reports of lots of blood and limbs and just a horrible scene here, just as you say, meters from the finish line.
Yeah, pretty dreadful. And I know this is a very symbolic American event, but it's also a very international event. People travel from all over the world to go there. The Portuguese consulate is right there between the two explosions. So it's easy to see it as a terrorist attack on America, but it's very early, really, even to say that yet.
Winners today from Ethiopia, from Kenya, from Japan, in this, as you say, very international event. We will learn more, no doubt, as time goes by. There were reports of police at one of the local hospitals. Is there a person of interest here? Do we know?
So Boston Police Commissioner Ed Davis says they have no suspect in custody and says to disregard that. But there was one journalist who on the Boston Common, a public area not far away, saw somebody being apprehended and police yelling for people to get away. And there was a photo of a person handcuffed after that. So somebody was taken in a not conventional criminal.
Kurt Nickisch, please stand by. Reporter with WBUR. We're looking at the Boston bombings today at the end of the Boston Marathon on Patriot Day in Boston. You can join us, 800-423-8255. We are live, 800-423-TALK. I'm Tom Ashbrook. This is On Point. We'll be right back. I'm Tom Ashbrook. This is On Point. We are live in a special broadcast of On Point this evening, responding to the bombings this afternoon at the Boston Marathon. It's Patriots Day in Massachusetts, marking the first battles of the American Revolution in Lexington and Concord. And, of course, it is the day of the Boston Marathon, one of the world's great marathons, a day of celebration, a day of joy. Today, mid-afternoon, two explosions, just yards from the finish line there. More than 100 injured, at least two dead. Still just two, and we hope it sticks there. But there are critical injuries and grave concern over what has happened today and what the fate of those injured in this attack. Kurt Nickisch is with us. He's a reporter for WBUR with us in the studio. With us as well in the studio right now is Jessica Stern, one of the country's foremost experts on terrorism, author of The Ultimate Terrorists and Terror in the Name of God. Jessica Stern, thank you very much for being with us on this first wonderful and then sad day. Thank you for coming in.
It's great to be here, of course.
Great, all things considered. I mean, people are listening in Boston very intently tonight because this is a day typically, as you well know, of such joy and celebration. People lining this race for nearly all of this 26.2 miles and handing water to the racers from around the world and the world's most fabulous athletes and those who can just make it but do into the Boston Marathon. Everybody in this together and then this at the finish line or nearly at the finish line, clearly intended for serious injuries, and that has been grimly successful. What are your thoughts as we look at this on the sketchy information we have at this point? We want to be very clear about that. But you're our expert. What are you thinking as you look at what we do see?
Well, of course, I can only speculate. We have so little information at this point. But it is worth noting that Patriots Day is an extremely important day for patriot groups, anti-U.S. government American groups. Patriots Day, April 19th, but we now celebrate Patriots Day in Massachusetts on the third Monday of April rather than on the actual date. It is April 19th was the day of the siege, the end of the siege at Waco. It was the date of a siege, a group that I followed very closely, the Covenant, the Sword, and the Arm of the Lord, which was a white supremacist group It's also the date of the Oklahoma City bombing of
1995, of course, 168 dead there.
That's right. So it is an important day, an important week, as a matter of fact. April 20th is Hitler's birthday. So this is a time that anti-government patriots groups are often quite active. We've seen that again and again.
And no one is saying at this point that that's where this points, but you're simply looking at the record of years to say there's Waco, there's Oklahoma City, there's more, and here we are, April, well, the week of Patriots Day.
That's right. We have no information that would enable us to say anything other than this group or individual, whoever it was, thought carefully about how to maximize the attention to the attack. If you think about where you could really get a lot of attention, also on Tax Day, it would be a good place to go.
Kurt Nickisch, television cameras and still photographers with all of their lenses pointed directly down those downtown streets with the runners coming in exactly where the bombs went off. There was no question there would be lots of coverage of these explosions in this site.
That is the one place on the course that is the most desired place because it's right at the finish line. It's the hardest place to get to, and it's where there's a grandstand a little beyond the site where dignitaries sit. And it's a very hard place to get to, but maybe later in the race when it clears out, you might be able to make it in there where you wouldn't be able to otherwise.
There were reports of another device that was underneath the grandstand. Is that confirmed? There was talk of that?
Not confirmed.
But that may have been there and may have been set off or taken out by officials later. Let's get our listeners in. Scott in Palm Beach, Florida. Scott, thanks for calling. You're on the air.
Yeah, hi, good evening. Just a real quick question. I cover a lot of these types of events for my work, and one of the base security things that they do is a sweep before, and I guess I kind of assume that in an event that's as big as the marathon, they would do that. Is it something that is done, or is it just something that as the years have gone by, they don't really do anymore?
Scott, I'm glad you raised the question. Kurt, what I heard was that, yes, a sweep was done. They had explosive sniffing dogs and all the rest. But that this may have been planted. These apparently may have been in trash cans along the route. Is that confirmed, Kurt?
Yeah, trash cans along the route is one suggestion. And police were also investigating a lot of backpacks right afterwards. So they were also looking at backpacks or
bags that were
left. Of
course, lots of people just left their bags, and they were going through those. Some of those, I think, were intentionally exploded later. There were reports, again, there's so much flying around. There were reports of surveillance tapes with evidence of some guy maybe dropping backpacks off in trash cans. Confirmation there, Kurt, or not at this point?
Also unconfirmed. We're going to hear in later this evening from Boston police updating us with more information, but they've been very spare with details.
Here's an interview with NBC, an eyewitness describing what he saw along the race path at the time of the explosion.
Heard two big explosions, large plumes of dust, smoke, glass. Obviously, everybody was going crazy. At first, it almost sounded like a cannon blast, but it felt so strong, it literally almost blew my hat off. And everybody started running the other way. There were a few people that were running over towards them to help out the injured. And there were some really bad, bad injuries. Some people were very, very badly hurt.
An eyewitness there. We have a nurse with us who handled some of those injured coming into hospital today. Hi. I'm not sure who I'm speaking with. Who's calling?
This is Lucy Miller.
Hi, Lucy. Where were you on duty and what did you see?
I was in Tent A.
Tent A. These were the medical tents set up for the runners for their normal issues of exhaustion and so on. Tell us what you saw.
Well, we saw the runners come in, and then we heard two big booms. And then all of a sudden, the announcer said, "We have a situation here," and we saw a lot of casualties. So people with blown limbs and people with injuries to both their arms and legs.
Did you see evidence of, I don't know what your experience is, Lucy, did you see shrapnel? Did it look as though there were bits of metal embedded, or did it look like it was simply the force of blast that had injured them?
It was force of blast, but there was one or two people that came in that had no limbs.
That is missing all four limbs?
No, just their low extremities. Most of the wounds were lower extremities.
Were you at all equipped for this kind of injury? You were equipped for exhausted runners, presumably.
Yeah, absolutely. But EMS and the ambulance did a great job of getting people triaged and trauma over to the hospitals as soon as possible.
Lucy, have you ever seen anything like this before in your nursing career?
I have not. I've been a post-op surgical nurse for 23 years, and I've never seen anything like this.
We are sorry that you had to see this today, but we are grateful to you for calling in, Lucy. Let me get one more right here. Larry in Acton, Massachusetts. Larry, you're on the air.
Hi, Tom. How are you doing?
Okay.
I was at the finish line earlier today, and I was watching my twin brother who was running the marathon, and he had crossed the finish line about 5 minutes before a couple bombs went off, and, you know, when the first bomb went off, it was to the right of me, and I could see the flags, and I could see the smoke coming out, and then I proceeded to turn around and go away from the finish line, which is when the second bomb went off, and so then there was another alleyway, so I called my dad and met up with him, and then my brother called me, and I met up with my brother, and they just gathered as a family.
Your brother's safe. You're safe. We're glad for that. What are your thoughts? Who can you imagine who would have done it or what the point would be, Larry?
I mean, you know, I think the expert, you can only speculate at this point, but I think the expert, you know, there's got to be something behind it, whether it be a terrorist attack. I mean, on Patriots Day, you know, the proud holiday here in Massachusetts. I mean, my family used to grow up, a bunch of families in Acton, and we'd walk from Acton to Concord, the old North Bridge.
Sure.
And, you know, watch it every year. So I think there's a lot of pride behind it, and it would make sense for a terrorist to do it on a day like today.
Maybe, except, I mean, it's a day of, as you say, it's a day of pride. It's a day of American pride, when everybody feels like in some way like a patriot going back to the American Revolution. Larry, I'm glad you're safe. Let me get a call from Spokane, Washington. Scott, you're on the air.
Hi, Tom. Hi. I just wanted to put in the context of in Spokane, we have a big race called Bloomsday coming up in May. It's a big, about 60,000 people. And that's going to be in the context of just 3 years ago, or excuse me, 2 years ago, there was an attempted bombing of the Martin Luther King Day parade here that made national news. It was thankfully thwarted, but it was done by someone leaving a backpack bomb along the parade route. And now that's going to be kind of in everyone's minds as the big race happens in just under a month.
Yeah, we remember that. Intended for MLK Day, as you say, 3 years ago in Spokane. Did you have any relationship to the race here in Boston today, Scott?
Yes, actually, knew six runners from the Spokane, Washington area who were there, and they were all accounted for and safe, thankfully.
Scott, I'm grateful. I'm glad to hear that and grateful for your call. Thank you. Jessica Stern, yes, 3 years ago, Spokane on Martin Luther King Day, there was this attempt. Again, this wasn't a parade today, but it's kind of like a parade in that people are stacked along the streets watching the whole spectacle go by. There it was in Spokane.
Yes. You know, terrorists often strike on important, significant days, symbolic days, in symbolic places and symbolic days. This week is definitely an important day. We have no idea who's responsible, but it's probably a good moment to pay attention to the massive increase in right-wing extremist terrorism. The Southern Poverty Law Center just warned the Attorney General about government groups reacting to fears that their guns are going to be taken away. And the increase since Obama was elected, 813% rise since 2008, the year that Obama took office, in patriot groups. So again, we don't have any idea, but it is a good moment to pay attention to something that we generally ignore. We usually think about foreign terrorist groups. We don't want to think about Americans, whether they're Americans acting on behalf of Al-Qaeda or Americans who are patriot groups, so-called patriot groups.
I mean, it could be anything, though, at this point. We have to be very, very careful here. Yes?
Yes,
maybe,
of course.
Maybe a moment to think about that, but yeah, also a moment to really hold our fire on pointing fingers, because we simply do not know at this point. Todd's calling from Cambridge, Massachusetts. Todd, thanks for calling. You're on the air.
Sure, yeah. I think your guest there is way out of line on You know, on the one hand, you say, well, it's way too early to point fingers, but let's point fingers anyway to domestic terrorism. I mean, well, let's just hold on. Hopefully they'll be apprehend the person or persons responsible for this. And, you know, let's just, you know, slow down a little bit, okay?
Absolutely. I mean, everybody is trying to figure out what's happened here, but you're exactly right. We do not know at this point. It could be a single individual with who knows what kind of lone wolf agenda. It could be something else. Nobody knows at this point. Jessica Stearns points out that there is a volume of recent history on this front, duly noted. On this instance, as she says, and I quite concur, let's wait and see what we actually learn. Do you have a sense, Kurt Nickisch, of how this investigation will proceed?
Yes, there's already a lot of coordinated response from Boston, Massachusetts, and federal law enforcement agencies. We've seen folks with ATF, FBI, all sorts of different folks in and around the scene. I mean, we heard about how this is maybe the perfect place to do something like this. It's also the worst place to do something like this because there were so many emergency responders and so many police right there at the scene. Police,
yeah,
within moments of the blast,
gathering evidence,
they had their pistols out. So
yes.
So many folks were able to be treated so quickly because of all the emergency responders right there at the scene.
We saw ATF officials going into a local hospital. There were reports that that was in order to apprehend someone or question someone. What do we know about that at this point?
So the Boston Police Commissioner, Ed Davis, says, you know, we have SWAT teams and security at a lot of important locations, and you're not supposed to read into that. So you can read into it. You cannot read into it.
I want to go to Oklahoma City right now. David Sid is with us. He's executive director of the Memorial Institute for the Prevention of Terrorism, where, of course, in 1995, on April 19th, there was the terrible and tragic large-scale bombing in Oklahoma City at the Alfred P. Murrah Federal Building. 168 people there, the daycare center, and all the children. David Sid, thank you very much for being with us.
Thank you, Tom.
This is a rough day in Boston. You've known even rougher in Oklahoma City. What are your thoughts as you look at this bombing at the end of the Boston Marathon, David?
The first thing I thought about was the cover of Police Chief magazine last month that said, "What are police chiefs concerned about? ... It's not terrorism." Well, I think it probably is terrorism now. And the problem with terrorism is it's episodic. It's a long time between events, and the tyranny of the urgent captures the interest and the energy as the police chiefs. But they have to stay focused on counterterrorism as well.
How much manpower or person power has to go into an attack like this? Could this be a single person from your casual observation from a distance? Is it clear or not?
Well, it's not clear, but I think it's unlikely it's a single person. And I was listening to Jessica's comments, and I think she's spot on. Of course, we can't make any judgments in the moment because we don't know. But there has been a resurgence of white right-wing extremism. And the challenge with that is, as I like to say, it's separating the dangerous from the merely angry. Many people are angry, and they join these groups, but they're not violent. But some are. And how we separate those from those that are not is the challenge.
And in terms of tracking down a bomber after, or bombers after an event like this, you know, what kind of police work does this look like to you? Highly difficult, or they'll have a lot of evidence and you can imagine them being successful in apprehending the perpetrator?
Well, it depends really on how the investigation unfolds. I can tell you, after being in the FBI, that there is no magic to it, Tom. The FBI just does every possible thing they can possibly think of to solve the case. It's hundreds of agents working hundreds of hours to sift through the evidence and look at every possible suspect, every possible scenario, and ultimately they whittle it down to the most likely, and ultimately I think the FBI does a pretty good job of finding who was actually involved. But again, we don't know yet.
We don't know. Just hours after two, apparently, bombs near the finish line of the Boston Marathon, two dead, 100 and more injured. David Sid, please stand by in Oklahoma City at the Memorial Institute for the Prevention of Terrorism there. Jessica Stearn, author of The Ultimate Terrorists, is with us in the studio, as is Kurt Nickisch, reporter for WBUR, who's been on this all day. Listeners, you can join us What are you thinking as you look out on this day's events in Boston? 800-423-8255 is our number. 800-423-TALK. I'm Tom Ashbrook. This is On Point. We'll be right back. I'm Tom Ashbrook. This is a special live edition of On Point this evening. We're looking at the bombings this afternoon near the finish line of the Boston Marathon. It is Patriots Day in Boston, celebrating the first battles of the American Revolution at Lexington and Concord. It is also race day here. It is a big marathon, one of the biggest in the world, the Boston Marathon, a day of athletic prowess and excellence and joy. Crowds lining the race route, supporting these runners mile after mile. And then in the last few hundred meters, two explosions within seconds of each other this afternoon. Low, hitting people hard, blowing off limbs. Two have died, more than 100 are injured. And a city and really country in shock at this taking place right in the heart of a great American city on what should have been a day of joy. You can join the conversation this hour, 800-423-8255, 800-423-TALK. David Sitt is with us from Oklahoma City, which has known its own terrorist attacks, very famously in 1995, in April, in this week of that year. Joins us from Oklahoma City. Jessica Stern is with me in the studio, author of The Ultimate Terrorists, leading thinker and researcher on terrorism in this country. And Kurt Nickisch is with us, reporter for WBUR, who has been following the facts of today's shocking events throughout the afternoon. President Obama talking to the nation late this afternoon, early evening, about these events.
We still do not know who did this or why. And people shouldn't jump to conclusions before we have all the facts. But make no mistake, we will get to the bottom of this. And we will find out who did this. We'll find out why they did this. Any responsible individuals, any responsible groups will feel the full weight of justice.
And words of support from the president for the city of Boston.
Boston is a tough and resilient town. So are its people. I'm supremely confident that Bostonians will pull together, take care of each other, and move forward as one proud city. And as they do, the American people will be with them every single step of the way.
I think Bostonians feel that right now. Here in the studio, just outside our windows, people pouring by this afternoon, streaming by, subways closed down, many roads closed off. And many who had been watching the race making their way home just past our studios here in Boston this afternoon after these explosions on what is year after year a day of joy. Karen in Sturbridge, Massachusetts, thank you for calling, Karen. You're on the air.
Thank you. Yes, I think this is particularly tragic this year because at mile 26, there was a dedication to the children who died in Newtown. And with the country in the midst of maybe finally moving on some meaningful gun control, this is just not what we need. And I hope that it is not those people's way of expressing themselves.
We absolutely don't know at this point, but definitely the Newtown shooting's on people's minds today. 26 seconds of silence among the runners before the race began this morning on the long path of the marathon. And as you say, memorial at the 26th mile. Karen, thank you for your call. John in Boston, you're on the air, John.
Hi, thanks for having me. The question, what was I thinking? I've always been one to admire those willing to rise up against oppression. When I saw the bomb go off on television, it exploded amongst a row of flags of countries from all over the world. And it blew up at a sporting event that lacks the ostentatiousness of a Super Bowl, but at a sporting event that's wide open to everybody who wants to attend for free.
Yeah.
Practically wide open for almost anybody who wants to participate. I can't imagine what type of cause could possibly be promoted by this type of behavior. It just doesn't make any sense at all.
John, I hear you loud and clear, and I'm glad you put it just that way. Kurt Nickisch, this is such a kind of democratic event. This has not got all the kind of imperial hoo-ah of a Super Bowl. This is in the streets with ordinary people in lawn chairs cheering people on.
It is an amazingly inspiring event because people just flood out. 500,000 people line 26 miles to watch people do this amazing athletic feat. And this is also right across the street from the Boston Public Library, which is the first public library in the nation. It's a symbol of an educated, democratic people. And so I tweeted this morning, it's Patriots Day. It's the greatest day in Boston, the greatest day of the year, and it always has been.
Those battles reenacted in Lexington and Concord this morning, the Old North Bridge and all the rest, and yet somebody put a lot of effort into this. Not just these two explosions, but I mean, it's being reported two other devices or more found, one at St. James and Trinity Street to one in Newton and outside of Boston. Do you know the total number of devices here that were found ultimately have been?
No, and I think we're still going to find out whether some of suspicious packages that were detonated were actually devices or not. And so we know of two explosions, a third fire at the JFK Library that may or may not be related, and at least one, possibly two unexploded devices. But those numbers are very uncertain at this point. Yet it's still a developing story.
Massachusetts Congressman Bill Keating is on the line right now. Congressman Keating, thank you very much for calling. Your thoughts at the end of this day?
Well, I think just like everyone else, it was a surreal event, even in today's world, where there's so much uncertainty, so much violence, so much insanity, still to see this reality at an event that we just embrace as our own is something that was shocking, and to see the reports come out that two people have been lost their lives, and now the injury total now is over 100. Our thoughts with all those families as well.
There was Congressman, you're on the House Homeland Security Committee. How does the country respond to this? What can you do? It seems such a cheap and easy way to hurt people so deeply. They're just standing innocent on the street.
It is. I mean, there's security over a major event like this that's really phenomenal in terms of its scope. However, anyone that can take certain risks, it shows us, despite all the precautions that were taken, we still live in an unsafe world. It does. We will see as the response comes forth that the fusion center, where they combine federal law enforcement authorities, the state, and the local law enforcement authorities, all work together, train together. We will see an amazing response, and we have from them. We're seeing a response that we're known for in Boston in terms of our medical facilities and how the community was able to triage and move quickly there. Although that does not mitigate at all the loss of lives and the injuries that were there. Now we look at an event like this, and I think the criminal investigation is still ongoing. One of the things that our authorities contacting our office have said, please advise people, don't go out if you don't have to. Stay at home in your apartment or your home, because this is an ongoing criminal investigation. There's no way to tell with any certainty right now if other dangers still exist.
Yeah, throughout the day here, the public being advised not to congregate, not to be in this area, and this sense vividly in the air that it might not be over as the day went on, that we haven't seen subsequent explosions at this point. Congressman Bill Keating, we're grateful to you for calling. Thank you so much for being with us.
Well, thank you. Okay.
I want to get a call right here. Well, let me ask you first, David Sitt in Oklahoma City. I mean, the vulnerability that a city can feel when you look at this on a day when it has rolled out its welcome mat to the world and wants to make people feel welcome and comfortable and secure. And the police presence was heavy along here. The bomb sniffing dogs had gone through. You know, it makes you think, well, how can you have a big public celebration like this, a big public event like this in the streets of a city, and guarantee, or something like it, security?
Well, of course, Tom, we can't guarantee security. And as Americans, we've always chosen liberty over security, so there's a balance that we have to strike. The Boston Police Department is superb. We've worked with them. We've trained almost 200 of their officers. And the commissioner was, in fact, the first one to major departments to take our training. So he's forward-thinking, and he's the perfect person to be on point for this, if I can use that word.
Mm-hmm.
But there's no security that's ultimate security. And physical security has its limitations. And that's why we have things like the See Something, Say Something campaign. That's why we have intelligence and the use of intelligence to detect terrorism warnings and indicators. That is, those things that terrorists may or must do prior to an event. All these things taken in their totality really create a difficult operational environment for them to be successful in. The fact that they were successful, I think, points out that there are limitations to what we can do.
Jessica, what about the lone wolf possibility here, which seems to me particularly difficult to defend against?
Yes, that's exactly why we see leaderless resistors or lone wolf terrorists. This style of organization was developed precisely to evade law enforcement detection, and it is something that the Al-Qaeda movement has been encouraging. So I do want to be clear that, of course, we have no idea who this is. It's worth noting that the Al-Qaeda movement is encouraging Americans not to go to Afghanistan, not to go to Pakistan to get trained, not to go to Yemen to get trained, but to stay at home. So this is a kind of growing trend in terrorism, has been for many years, actually.
Maybe I've just been lulled, but it has been long enough since the last significant successful attack that tied to Al-Qaeda in this country that, despite everything, the anger over CIA's operations abroad and drone attacks and everything else, I guess I had begun to think maybe that era of vulnerability and the necessity of fear had passed, Jessica.
Well, I think that we really, as Tom said, there is no way to protect from everything, from every kind of strike, especially this kind of relatively small strike.
Yeah.
If you think about what it could have been.
Yeah. I mean, small, though, there may have been more bombs that were intended to go off. Even as it is, you've got 100-plus wounded, loss of life and limb, quite significant. Timothy in Stuyvesant, New York. Timothy, thanks for calling.
You're welcome. Thank you for taking the earlier call from the man who worried about jumping to conclusions. I'm concerned when I hear phrases like Patriot Group tossed around to instantly blame imagined criminals at this point. I worry about the language used. I worry that people who hear Patriot Group think Tea Party, think Libertarian, think Republican Party, and I wish there were a different phrase for that, but I think you're doing a great job, Mr. Ashbrook. I think there's a problem with speculating so soon, though.
Yeah, no, I hear you loud and clear on that front, Timothy. At the same time, we must not do that. At the same time, people are naturally extremely hungry for some idea about what may have happened here. The fact is, at this point, we do not know. We can look at the context. We can look at possibilities. We do not know, though the hunger is great to know. Chris in New York City. Chris, thanks for calling. You're on.
Thank you very much. I was thinking, listening to the reports about the location of the explosions and the timing in relationship to the race and the nature of the wounds, and I wondered if anyone was considering whether the bombers might have been two recreational runners who actually had strapped themselves with explosives. They come along near the end of the race. They come across the line, fall maybe to their knees, as runners do, set off their explosives and the shrapnel and whatnot goes through the crowd at kneecap level and gets everybody. I don't know what kind of security there was in terms of scanning the runners.
I think it would be pretty tough given the size of these explosions, and I don't see any evidence of that. But Kurt, you're coming in here.
Yeah, it seems unlikely because these explosions happened off the route behind barricades that mm-hmm. people were lined up to keep them separated from the runners.
Yeah.
It's possible, but the placement along the really congested areas of pedestrians, where the space that the runners had was very wide open, it seems improbable, at least at this point.
David said in Oklahoma City, think with us for a moment about the explosives evidence. Of course, there will be
chemical evidence of the nature of these explosives? How much can be read into that about their source of origin, what exactly it would have been, how it would have been made, what it would have taken to do that, how strong a signature may be there for tracking down the perpetrators?
Well, that's right, Tom. There may be a signature, and right now I'm sure the FBI laboratory is looking at what they found and comparing it with every known bomber they've ever had the unfortunate experience to be associated with. So that's going to be an important piece of it. And also the tag ends in the explosives might tell us where the explosives came from, and that would be a lead among many others. They'll interview people who were in the area. They'll look at the surveillance tape. They'll look at the tapes of news cameras and so on, and they'll try and put together a picture and perhaps see something that will lead them to a good lead that will lead them to these bad actors.
We hope so, and let them be caught, and let them be caught soon. Lots of people writing in here. Veronica says, my mom called in a panic, but I'm safe. Sarah says, why would anyone do something like this? That is a good question. She's thinking of the runners. She says, you imagine being the athletes at mile 26 of their long, long run as the bombs went off, just about to cross the finish line. Their bodies dealing with the trauma of having run 26 miles, and now they have to deal with the trauma of the explosion, not only the athletes, but the whole city, Kurt. I mean, this is, if it's chosen to be upsetting, it is. It's supposed to be a day of joy, and here we have this bloodshed.
Yeah, it's been tough for a lot of Bostonians. The president was right that they are proud. I saw a lot of people saying, I'm so sorry for my city right now. And a lot of people stepping up to do everything they could to help and offer places for all these runners to stay. Remember, this crime scene is a commercial area with lots of hotels.
Closed down, evacuated.
Closed down, evacuated. And you can't because of some interruptions in public transportation. You can't get here and there. And so people are offering places to stay for any of these runners who are stranded and maybe didn't even finish the race.
Jessica Stern, if this was meant to deliver a message, I don't see it. It looks a muddled message at best to me, as deadly as it has been.
It's psychological warfare. The message is, don't feel safe.
You know, I guess that's right. David Sid, it's not 168 dead here. It's two at this point. We hope that's all it is. But with the kind of muddled message like this, maybe it's don't feel safe, but I certainly don't feel cowed, and I imagine many other Bostonians do not as well, David. You know how cities recover. Your cities come back from this, from a deeper blow.
That's right. It will stiffen their resolve. And the value we place on one life they perceive as a weakness, it's a profound misreading of our character. It's really our greatest strength.
This is On Point on the Day of a Tragedy. Thanks for joining us. I'm Tom Ashbrook.